Blog Talk Radio.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this. But every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face. That their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said, the destiny of man is not measured by material competitions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. He said, there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Good evening. How you doing? My name's Joseph Gibson. This is Blog Talk Radio. How is everyone tonight? I hope everyone is healthy and well and happy. Let's see. What are we going to talk about tonight? I got a bunch of stuff here I want to talk about, but I just want to recap for those of you who may have missed last night's show. Last night's show, we talked a lot about the Second Amendment. I pulled some articles up from the AP, Associated Press, and if you remember correctly, a couple weeks ago, I called the VA, the crisis hotline, and asked them questions concerning this new policy that's coming out about confiscating veterans' guns. Okay, where someone behind a desk in a suit and tie with a paper and pen just decide if a veteran who laid down his life for his country is allowed to carry a firearm or own a firearm. That is a disgrace, and it's disgusting. Well, this past week in Idaho, it's happened. They attempted to confiscate a veteran's firearm and guns. Someone from the VA went to his home and attempted to confiscate his guns. He's a veteran, okay? Because he has someone help him with his finances every month. That deems him fit not to be able to have the right to carry a gun. So someone says behind a desk. That is disgusting. What is wrong with this country? What the hell is going on? Wake up, people. And this, I was given that tip, okay, a few weeks ago to investigate it, and it was one of my listeners emailed me privately and asked me to look into that issue. Now, you know, I'm not going to name any names because my sources remain private, but I looked into it. It was true. They were crafting this policy, and now they've started. I guess this was a test run in Idaho, a tiny little town, a population of 1,700, thinking that no one would hear about it. They attempted this. However, the sheriff of that town and several representatives and 100 patriots went to this gentleman's house, this veteran, this war hero, and stood at the front door and said, "You're not coming in and taking anyone's guns." Well, it caught the national media's attention. Not too much. It's not on your TV, but it did catch the Associated Press wire, and I read that for you last night. So if you missed that, go back. So the information you receive on this show is not false. It's accurate. And we predicted this was going to happen weeks before it happened. I told you so. And so what you hear is facts. Like I said, we're all entitled to our opinions. That's great. They sound great. It feels good to voice our opinions, but it does not mean it's a factual basis to our life and everyday living. Everyone has a right and is entitled to their opinion. That's their First Amendment right. However, when people and individuals apply their opinions as a factual foundation to everyday living, we have problems. We run into protests, riots, just like, for instance, the Confederate flag issue. The Confederate flag stands for racism and hate and slavery. Wrong answer, folks. Look up your history. Read the history. Don't take certain little quotes out of a history book and apply it to the whole story. Read the entire history book. Okay, I had a debate about a month ago, or when this Confederate flag issue was taking off, with a gentleman on Facebook. And he thought he was going to quote a couple passages from a history book and prove his point that the Confederate flag stood for racism. Of course, I had to embarrass him and point to him and show him and prove to him that I know where that quote came from. He took it from such and such page, this page, that book, this printed this date, and I actually quoted the entire chapter, and the flag did not stand for racism, and he still denied the truth. So, you know, like I said, sometimes it's not worth debating people, because even when you show them the truth and you point the truth directly at them, and you do it in a modest way, in a polite way, they still won't believe. Like I said, everyone is entitled to their opinions. However, it does not necessarily mean they are facts, okay? So, what I'm trying to do is, with this show, is help people come to solutions about the very issues we face day to day. That's why the show is titled Understanding the Times in Which We Live in Today. Okay, we're not going to talk about nonsense. I'm not going to talk about how many baskets LeBron James scored, or I'm not going to talk about the Washington Redskins. Their name is racist. We're not going to talk about nonsense. Yeah, it's all. I like to be entertained. Entertainment is great. I watch football. I'm not going to lie to you, but we have more important issues happening across this country today that we need to be more concerned about. Matter of fact, we fill up 16 football stadiums every single Sunday, 100,000-plus people, and plus the people at home watching on TV, without fail, every Sunday, but yet we can't get 50 people together at the courthouse to protest an abortion law or babies being killed by Planned Parenthood. Murdered, chopped up, hacked up. We can't get 20 people. We can't get 20 people to call into this show unless I pay them a $100 bill to talk about Planned Parenthood. Okay? I know there's people out there listening. They know what I'm talking about because we've addressed that issue. I have an article right here I'm going to read to you about Planned Parenthood. Why are these people from Planned Parenthood not being indicted and arrested? I read to you the law. The law, I quoted to you the law a couple weeks ago. It is a 10-year prison term doing for what they had done, selling human body parts. It's for God's sake, it's on video. Why are the churches across this country not up in arms? Why are the pastors across this country not screaming at the top of their lungs, "We want justice"? But yet we can get 100,000 people in South Carolina protesting a flag. What the heck's wrong with you people? Is it the food we're eating? Is it vaccinations? Is it the poison in the air? What the heck's going on? You're all zombies. Wake up. I mean, that is That is monstrous. What kind of doctor would chop up a baby in a woman's womb? First chop off the arms, the hands, and then take the legs, and then save the head for last. That's what one doctor was quoted saying. Save the head for last. What the hell? Why isn't that doctor hanging from the highest tree in Washington, D.C. for the whole public to see? It is a crime. I'm not saying go out and hurt people or blow any Planned Parenthood buildings up. I'm not saying that. I'm not advocating that at all. No way. Violence is the last resort. But these people should be tried. They should be arrested and tried. And if found guilty, then given the death penalty. So I'm not advocating anyone hurt anybody on this show, so don't go there with me. Don't twist my words around, you liberals. You know who I'm talking about, the ones that like to email me little smart-ass comments. You know who I'm talking to. I'm speaking the truth here. Look, it's a crime. I don't have the law in front of me. I can't remember every single law in the law books. However, it is a crime. And I believe it's a $500,000 fine, too. And folks, your tax dollars are supporting this, are supporting these Planned Parenthood institutions. Your tax dollars, you Christians, your tax dollars are supporting murder of innocent babies. What did Matthew say? Matthew, Mark, John, Luke? I don't have my Bible in front of me. I'm sorry, I should. In the book of Matthew, I know Jesus particularly picks up a young child and sets him on his lap and says, whoever hurts these little ones will have no place in the Father's kingdom. And then Luke says it a different way, and John says it another. I don't have the Bible verse, I'm sorry, but you can look it up. It's true, you hurt a child, you are not going to heaven. I don't want to hear it, I'm going to repent, and that's blah, 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 nonsense. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. And from what he says and from what I read in the Bible, you're not going to heaven if you kill a baby. Now, as far as killing thousands of babies, what do you think? Common sense, right? I know some of you are saying, well, we don't even know if there's a heaven. Well, look, if there is, you're not going if you're killing children. I'm going to tell you that right now. And that's right. I'm passing judgment on that because I stick up for children. Children are innocent. They are the light of this world, like the Bible says. Future, our hope, and anyone who hurts children any type of way whatsoever, you're despicable, and you need to repent and try to ask God for forgiveness, because I won't forgive you. Let me tell you that right now. I don't forgive you, you doctors out there chopping up babies. Anyway, we got I got an article here from the AP. In the latest installment of their human capital expose on Planned Parenthood reported sale of aborted baby body parts for profit, a former tissue procurement technician explains how she approached pregnant mothers at Planned Parenthood clinics and asked them to sign over their unborn baby's blood, tissue, and organs, often before patients had agreed to an abortion. And I know how that went down. I just want to interrupt this article for a second. I know how that went down. Probably had nurses shoving paperwork in their face. You know, you got to sign this. It's our policy. It's our policy. Policy. Okay? And then once you pay them, you know, because all they really want is the money. And then they're looking at the money to sell the body parts. Oh, this is disgusting. Can't believe I'm reporting on this. I just can't believe it. I cannot believe I'm talking about this. We're to blame. I'm to blame, and you are too, those of you listening. We are all to blame for allowing this to happen, whether you like it or not. Hey, hang up, disconnect yourself, shut it down. I don't care. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you don't want to hear the truth, get out of here. I don't want you listening to this show, and I don't care. But I'm going to tell you the truth. You want to hear the truth, then you're welcome. You got an opinion this year? Hey, I'll listen to you. Like I say in my ads, uncensored, unedited. You're allowed to come on this show. Say what you got to say, and, you know, we may disagree, but that, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. But all I'm saying is, let's just keep it polite and real. So let's not threaten each other. Let's not accuse each other of anything. Let's just keep it real and have a good conversation, those of you who like to email and post comments that are really unworthy of posting. But I don't censor anyone. So Back to the article. We go on to say, I would wait for certain girls to come in. I would look for an opportunity to obtain consent. So that would mean after they go in, they get registered with the nurse, they sit down. That would be a great opportunity for me, too. Hey, can I talk to you for a second? Technician Holly O'Donnell, a former STEM Express technician recalled to filmmakers. Are you going to make a movie out of this? Unbelievable. Yeah, it'd probably sell out, too. It's not an option. It's a demand, O'Donnell says. Were her supervisor's instructions? The former technician claims that while the companies gave the appearance of formally requesting permission, consent was sometimes treated as an afterthought. If there was a higher gestation and the technicians needed it, there were times when they would just take what they wanted. And these mothers don't know. And there's no way they would know. Consent from checklists, which in addition to Denny and reimbursement, feature an item stating, before I was shown this consent, I had already decided to have an abortion and signed a consent form for it. Yeah, no. That didn't happen all the time, O'Donnell says. Some of these women don't know if they're going to get an abortion. Some aren't 100% they're going to get it done. According to O'Donnell, STEM Express procurement specialists receive data sheets every morning documenting opportunities at various clinics showing women's appointments for abortions and ultrasounds and unborn babies' gestation periods. Pregnancy tests are potential pregnancies. That's why Planned Parenthood offers these pregnancy tests, folks, because those are probably going to be abortions. You know, most women or young girls who walk into these clinics are afraid, and these doctors and these nurses prey upon them. You know, they want them to get an abortion because that's money. That's money in the bank for them. Okay? Says it right here. Pregnancy tests are potential pregnancies, therefore potential specimens, right? That's why they offer the pregnancy test for free in most cases, in most states. The Center for Medical Progress says the video exhibits Planned Parenthood and its affiliates' callous disregard for the safety of women and human life in general. Experiences like Holly O'Donnell's show that Planned Parenthood's abortion and baby parts business is not a safe place where vulnerable women can be cared for, but a harvesting ground for saleable human product. A statement from CMP project lead David Lydian reads, the group is currently in the process of releasing a series of undercover videos, which they hope will urge the American public to demand taxpayer dollars stop being pumped into the barbaric abortion business and prompt lawmakers to conduct an investigation to determine the full extent of Planned Parenthood's offensive practices and hold them accountable to the law. Folks, that's from the Associated Press. Excuse me. When I read that article, I get sick to my stomach. And like I said earlier, why are, you know, I drive down the road here in North Carolina, even in the city, every corner there's a Baptist church. Church, 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 church. I drive down Scalesville Road, one of the main roads here near my home. There's about 7 churches in a 10-mile radius. All those people every Sunday attending those churches. What the hell are you talking about in there, folks? What's going on? Maybe I should start visiting some of those churches and putting them on the spot. Maybe we'll do a show there, you know. I'll record it. I'll go in there. I'll have to look up the laws and make sure it's legal first. Maybe I'll walk in there and put a pastor on the spot undercover. What do you think? That's a good show in the future, right? I believe I've, you know, I was on the Enterprise Media over the past year as a guest. I was asked back several times. That's how I got this show on Sound Doctrine Broadcast, where I debated pastors thoroughly, vigorously, about what they were teaching and how they taught and what they were talking about. Okay? So if any of you have anything to add, you're more than happy to call in. The phone number is 657-383-0616, or you could type in the chat box. I will be moderating that also, but I already have a caller with a question, so I'm going to go ahead and put them through. The phone number is 203-684. So you go ahead. You're on.
Hello, Joe. This is Joe in Connecticut. How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
That's good. Yeah, I'm going to make a few comments now for about 5 or 10 minutes. What you just talked about, and then I'll shut up and let someone else call in. Okay, first of all, you know, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a lawyer or anything. These are just my views. You're talking about Planned Parenthood. You know, I brought this up a few weeks back. And they indicate that they're not selling anything for a profit. They're just getting their money back. They're taking donations. And after it came out, about a week later, I heard that they're going to be doing an investigation on Planned Parenthood, but they're going to be investigating the people who are doing the reporting and the videotaping, not Planned Parenthood. So it's gonna end up just like Clinton. The FBI will probably take over the investigation, and the reason why the FBI will take it over is so that we will never get an answer. The FBI will just cover everything up so bad that we'll never get an answer. I mean, look, go back to Watergate, go back to anything. You're never going to get an answer to anything. Now on a little better topic that more people may be interested in, I also said a few weeks ago, you're not what you eat, you are what you digest. And I believe that's exactly what's wrong with our politicians, with these people in Planned Parenthood, George Soros. They're completely mentally incapable of forming any good decision whatsoever because they're full of drugs. They're full of vaccines. They believe in vaccines. They believe in drugs. And drugs are just poisons. That's all they are. They have their place, but you can't be doing them all the time. So they're all just mentally messed up, and there's no talking to someone that's mentally messed up. I mean, I don't know about Sandy Hook. I don't know about this video movie they had, the Batman thing. All I know is that I've heard that they're all on the drugs, and they're no
well,
one
like
knows.
Well, like the shooter, like Joe, just like the shooter. Well, like what you're saying, what people, others that don't understand. George Soros controls the media and pumps millions, billions of dollars. But yes, the Batman shooting, the Colorado movie shooting, the Charleston shooting, what you're saying is true. They were all on some sort of prescription medication.
Exactly. And they're just finding out now that these prescription medications affect different people differently. And some people who take these prescription drugs, I don't know if I'm going to be accurate or not, but it's going to be similar to what I'm going to say. They don't form the correct hormones, or they don't form the correct enzymes in their liver or whatever when they take these prescriptions, and it really screws up their head. It turns them into complete lunatics. So going back to what I said weeks ago too, you know, you're not what you eat, you are what you digest. And that's my point to where I'm getting to now, and I'll be done in a minute or two. Most people, literally, in America, are full of crap. Literally. So that's what people need to do first before they can start thinking properly and get on with their lives. They need to clean themselves out. Again, you're not what you eat. You are what you digest. So
all right,
that's
well, Joe,
you got to...
Joe, okay, that's good. We can point out, like I did, I understand what you're saying. What can people do to clean themselves out? You walk into the grocery store, all the foods have GHMO in them. They're all chemically down. I mean, what are you going to do? Grow food in your backyard? People don't have time. They got bills to pay. They can't walk around plucking weeds out of their grass. You know, what do they do? What do you have as common sense just to start people off in the right direction? What advice from your personal experience would you suggest people do?
My personal experience, and this is going to hit home, and it's going to hit home with everyone who's probably listening or even knows me. First of all, shut your mouth and pay attention. I've been doing, some people call them herbs, some people call them herbs. Herbs or herbs, whatever you want to call them, they're medicine. That's what they are. They're medicine. 25% of all prescription drugs are made from herbs or herbs, whatever you want to call it. The problem is that they mess them all up so your body doesn't recognize them. The first thing you need to do is clean your body out. What people can do, let me go back to that last point. I talk to people. I tell them what I'm doing. I walk them around my yard. I show them. For instance, I have these big mullein plants growing in my garden. You know, people want me to pull them up. When they see them, they go, "What is that?" Well, you know, I've told everybody what these are for once, and I don't want to keep repeating myself. Mullein. Mullein is good for tuberculosis. It's good for cold and flu. It's good for asthma. It's good for ear infections. It's antibacterial. It's good for your digestive health. It's good for cramps. It gives you a good sedative effect. It soothes your skin. It's good for pain relief. You can roll it into cigarettes and smoke it because that's what the Indians used to do. And it's not loaded full of chemicals because you knew where you grew it. And what the next thing people can do is, well, there's Ayurveda. I call it Ayurveda medicine. It's from India. You know, Buddhas, the monks, they all do all this. And if you go on the web and you search out the University of Berkeley in California, there's a monk. He has classes online, hours and hours and hours of video and audio that you can listen to. And with Ayurveda medicine, it takes into account the five elements of space, air, earth, fire, and water. And they make up everything in the universe. And these are broken down into what they call doshas, known as Vita, Pitta, and Kapha. And that's what everyone has. For instance, a Kapha person wakes up in the morning and they have phlegm in their throat and they're spitting and they're generally a little bit overweight. And a Pitta person or whatever is generally thin, always on the go, energetic, and things like that. And you could get some good information just by listening. And you know what? It's just information. You don't have to do it if you don't want, but there's a good place to start.
Okay, that's good advice, sure. But that's good advice for people like me who have access to the web. But what do you say to the 75-year-old man or woman that's listening tonight, and we have a few, I know that for a fact, who doesn't know exactly even a tip of the iceberg of what you just said? You know,
okay,
understand. Can you give it, like, hang on, let me just ask you a question. Can you give me a simplistic explanation, like when I walk into my local grocery store, what should I be looking out for, and what should I really be shopping for when I go grocery shopping or what have you to put into my body, like you suggest?
Well, that's basically what I said without giving you the answers, because giving you the answers is going to take hours and hours and days, as I've been doing it for 20 years, and I still don't know the answers. I'm not an expert, and I don't know anything. You can't buy hardly anything at all at your grocery store. When you walk into your grocery store, I don't know, like mine, I walk in and over on the right it says Health Department. Now, what does that tell you about the rest of the store? If the Health Department's
sure.
over here, what's that saying about the rest of the food in the store? What people can do is start cleaning themselves out. Drink clean, fresh water to begin with. Visit the Berkeley site. Listen to these people. People that like to go outside and garden. If you're old and everything and you don't have a job, plant some garlic, for God's sake. It lowers your cholesterol. It's antibacterial. It's antifungal. It cleans your blood. Go buy some cinnamon. Drink some cinnamon. It'll clean your blood. It'll help eliminate diabetes and things like that. It's simple things. Open your eyes, pay attention, and listen, and do a little research on your own. You know, if people are calling in, I'm sure they could call Berkeley. And, you know, I'm sure the monk there, for a $10, $20 donation, he'd send you the stuff on CDs. You could listen to them on your computer.
Well, thanks, Joe. I really appreciate it. I got someone else with, I got 203-240. I'm going to go ahead and put you on. Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, how
Hello.
Are you, Joe?
Hey, how are you? Good to hear from you.
I was listening to what your caller said about garlic and cinnamon. That's good stuff. Good stuff to know.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
can you tell us? Can you tell us, Peter? Peter's those of you that are listening, Peter, Dr. Venturi's, he is the one that introduced me to this radio show, and is the one that originally gave me my first opportunity on, because he hosts the show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Sound Doctrine, And I was a guest on that show. I spoke about it earlier in the broadcast, and that's how I was recognized by Blog Talk Radio. So Peter gave me my actually gave me my opportunity, and people liked what I said. It may not be in, I guess you could say, the same platform that Peter talks about, but I was a little off base. But there's a spot for me, and they wanted me to fill that spot. But that's what I want to say. But Peter, how was your trip across the country, real quick? Because I know you're very busy. I talked to you earlier in the day today. I mean, can you tell my listeners how your trip went and what you accomplished, and talk a little bit about your mission and your church out in California. And also, real quick, not to load you down with a bunch of questions, I popped up a question here about this Planned Parenthood thing, them chopping up babies and murdering babies. Why are the churches across this country not up in arms and screaming at the top of their lungs? Why are these Planned Parenthood buildings not being shut down, prosecuted, because they did break the law? They broke the law. I quoted it a couple weeks ago. Can you give me your personal opinion and or your church's opinion about what the heck is going on with this Planned Parenthood?
Well, first of all, the vacation went well. We got some relaxation. We visited some family. And we got a chance to witness to as a Muslim for a couple hours. And that was went down to Florida, came back. And hit some bad weather. And as for the church, well, we've just planted a church in Imperial Beach called Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach. We're working on building that up. And it takes time to grow. Now, about Planned Parenthood, I saw recently on TV one of these abortion clinics or people that are involved in this were not only doing these late-term abortions, but also they've been harvesting organs and selling them, supposedly for research. So as a Christian, of course, we're appalled by that. You know, amen. You know, to us, it's a satanic ritual in this sense. You know, Jesus Christ shed his blood to cover our sins, and the parents, women, are shedding the blood of their children to cover their sins, for the most part. And so whether they realize it or not. And so, no, we disagree with it. And recently there was a petition that circulated among the Christians and Christian churches in the United States, and we petitioned the administration to do something. And there has been an action on it. There is still a petition floating around. They're still collecting signatures. There were thousands and thousands, I think over 100,000 signatures, and it was building at the time. And so, you know, they're moving, pressing on the, it's an election time, and we're pressing on those who are running for office and those who are in office to make changes. And in the meantime, you know, you pray about that thing, and you realize that, you know, children who die through abortions are justified by God. They haven't reached the age of majority, and therefore, you know, they automatically have a place in heaven, and the parents will answer for that behavior for the most part. It's a sad day.
That's good stuff. Yeah,
you know,
that's good stuff here.
We're killing millions and millions of people. They're worried about going to war in a foreign nation and losing 5,000 soldiers. Listen, 5,000 people die of drunk driving in a year in the United States of America. You know, the numbers are twisted and the news is slanted, but that's just the way it is in our world today. And Paul speaks of it in Romans. He says that the women in the end times would be without natural affection. And a woman who could take her baby and just tear him up and throw him in a garbage can, that's a woman without natural affection. So it's the signs of our time. You know, things are we want things to get better, of course. We want God to bless our nation. But the truth of the matter is prophecy says it doesn't get better. It gets worse. Christians get marginalized more and more. You know, where you're looking around the world, Joe, and you're looking at, you know, and you've spoken highly intelligently about it and the crisis around the war and the ISIS caliphate that's set up as a government. And the people in the world, you know, the problem is that they don't teach history in school. They teach social studies, so our children don't even know that really what's going on right now is just a repeat of the Ottoman Empire, the history of the Ottoman Empire. We tried to set up a worldwide caliphate. And it's not about extreme Islam. It's Islam is Islam. There's no such thing as an extremist. They're all extremists. It doesn't matter how you categorize it.
Peter, not to interrupt you, because that's good stuff. You're right. Muslims, all of them are extremists. I don't care.
Well,
if you're a Muslim,
ideology.
You want to call
that's
in, you know?
Yeah, I just wanted to say it's an
you're
ideology.
A veteran, Peter. Oh, yeah. But you're a veteran, Peter, and I talked to you. You were not, I don't think you were on the line yet with your question, but What's your opinion as being a Navy veteran yourself and your wife, a VFW commander, who's very highly respected across the country? I will say that, Marilyn, your wife, very highly respected VFW commander. Well, she was a commander, but she still works for the VFW in Southern California. But anyway, what do you think about this new policy where they're going after veterans and confiscating their weapons? Their Second Amendment, they're taking away their Second Amendment right. I read a news article yesterday on my show about that. And in your opinion, how as Christians or how as veterans should we handle this type of situation real quick?
Well, I think we have a problem in our nation, not just with the Second Amendment, but the problem becomes that we have people who are not mentally stable either. They filed for benefits under VA claims, and they've, you know, proven themselves to have stuff of post-traumatic distress order. And some of those fellows, although they're veterans and they're great people, may not really have, shouldn't, probably not have a gun in their hand at this time. But should it be deemed that they've overcome the consequences of PTSD, and I think everybody has PTSD to a certain degree, but there are some people who are really unstable. And I think that's a different, you know, that's a story where we have to look at the society as a whole and say, well, you know, do we put weapons in the hands of those who are unstable mentally and emotionally? And so that's, you know, that's a real touchy subject to veterans
around
the world.
Peter, you're absolutely correct, Peter. However, like I said, you weren't listening. The people making the decisions are, I called the VA, the crisis hotline, a couple weeks ago, and asked them what's going on, because I received a tip from one of my listeners about this policy that's going to be coming out, and it was an anonymous tip, and he told me to look into this. And what I did was I looked into it, and it's true. They've come out with it now, this policy, veterans, who they deem all veterans. It's 4.68 million veterans. Now, Peter, what you said is correct. We don't want some Looney Tunes veteran who has dementia walking around with an AR-15 on his back. And you know, obviously, I don't want to be in a Wendy's restaurant. He walks in and blows everybody up. Of course. But should some VA hospital or some suit and tie guy sitting behind a desk with a paper and pen make that decision? No. Are we not a republic, a God-fearing republic? Shouldn't that veteran have a right to a hearing and a jury by his peers, and if that jury finds he's incapable of handling a weapon or owning a weapon, then, of course, he has to surrender it. But why should one person have the authority to sign a signature on a piece of paper and send the enforcers out, the police, to go kick down that veteran's door, a veteran, a man who laid down his life for this country?
Well,
I don't think they should. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they should have the right to. I think there should be some kind of a hearing board, which is concerned, you know, with more, which consists of more than one person. Although on the other side, the shady side of that whole thing is that, you know, who is the most experienced in using weapons? So if you disarm them, you see.
Yeah.
So there's a whole scheme. There's a whole underlying shadow scheme to that whole thought too. That you could, you know, we could kick that thing around forever. You know, is it an attempt to disarm those who are able to handle weapons and have experience in them and take the weapons out of their hands so that in case something happens in the country, they can't do something about it? Militia-wise, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all just a thought. But as far as the, you know, as far, I don't see, you know, boogeymen behind every tree. But like you say, no, I don't think it's right, and I think there ought to be a hearing board, and the hearing board ought to make that decision. I don't think it should be based upon any one person's decision.
That's correct. Yeah. Well, thank you.
I've got to run because, as you know,
all right,
I'm getting ready.
Hey,
for
Peter,
the,
thank you for checking. Hey, guy, listeners. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. Take care, Peter.
Thank you very much for checking in.
It was a
pleasure seeing you up in New England. It was a pleasure to see your dad, as always, a wise, intelligent man. I really appreciate and respect his wisdom and yours also. And it's good to see your family. And, Joe, you take care. And listeners, you listen to the guy. All right.
Bye, Peter.
All right. Thank you, Peter. Thank you. God bless you. All right. Well, that was Peter Ventura from San Diego, California, Imperial Beach. He lives on a Navy base out in California, has a church out in California. I've known him for a long time, close friend. Like I said, he's the one that gave me my introduction to this show to Blog Talk Radio, and this show is becoming very successful. And I only thank people like Peter, Joe in Meriden, Joe in Sebastian, Florida, Mike out in Wisconsin, Bridget in Reidsville, North Carolina. The list goes on and on and on. Alex, my nephew, who was on the past few days. You know, all you who consistently support me and this show, I really thank you, because without you, there is no show. Okay? But, however, I did come out with a schedule last night. I just want to make sure before I announce it, so I'll announce my schedule tomorrow night for permanent hours. So this way here, my supporters, who are so dedicated and listen faithfully, will not be so upset. Like, I got a couple of emails. Come on. You know, you're on one night at 5, you're on one night at 8. You know, come on, help me out here. You know, like I told you in the beginning, it was going to be rough. I have to feel the floor. I got to see what's out there. So, you know, you got to remember, I'm on North Carolina at 7 o'clock. Well, just like Peter, he's calling from San Diego. It's 3 o'clock out there right now. So, you know, I got to take everyone into consideration. So that's why I sat down last night and came out with a real concrete schedule. And I'll announce that schedule tomorrow night, okay? So if there's anyone else that has something on their mind, or if they have something they want to contribute, by all means, you can call in at 657-383-0616. Press 1. Other than that, we're going to go ahead and get ready to wrap it up. Wait a second. We got someone that has something to add, so it just popped up on my screen.
I could go on and on, you know.
Oh, you're more than welcome to. But let me take this caller real quick, okay?
Sure.
Go ahead. Reidsville, you're on.
Hello, this is Bridget from Reidsville, North Carolina. I just had a quick comment because I just read an article that New Hampshire has decided to defund Planned Parenthood.
Well, that's great. That's great news.
So I just read I was scrolling and I saw it and I thought, since it had to do with the topic, I would call in and mention it. So they won't be receiving $639,000. They won't
Is that federal or state money?
That's state money.
Okay, state. Okay.
Yes, because each state, you know, funds Planned Parenthood to a certain degree. So New Hampshire has decided, because of all the videos coming out about the baby parts thing, that they have decided to defund them. So that's a little bit of money that Planned Parenthood will not be receiving from the state of New Hampshire.
Well, Bridget, thank you. That's a victory, folks. That's a victory.
Yep.
We got one state already. And, hey, New Hampshire, what's it say on their license plate? Live free or die.
Yep.
I know, because I lived in New Hampshire, and New Hampshire has a lot of really good people living in that state. A little strange for me, but they're good people. And there's a couple of people on the line tonight that know what I'm talking about. But anyway, thank you, Bridget. I appreciate it. You got anything else you want to add tonight?
No, I just thought I'd add that because, I mean, when I read it, I was thrilled because, in my opinion, every little bit helps. Every time an abortion clinic shuts down, it should be celebrated. Every time a state decides to stand up and do the right thing, that should be celebrated. So
today, it
was New Hampshire. So now that's a little bit more, that's a little bit less Planned Parenthood will have to work with. Which makes me very happy.
To work with killing innocent children.
Yeah.
I got another caller, Bridget. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your support and calling in. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay.
262. Go ahead. You're on the air. 262-684. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I just wanted to chime in that Wisconsin, under our Governor Scott Walker, defunded Planned Parenthood 4 years ago.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I don't know if he had a crystal ball or what, but he's been talking about it. He's running for president, but that's it feels good to know that you know, somebody's doing something.
Yeah, sure. Hey, Mike, I know you're into politics a real lot. Out of all the candidates on the platform right now, and we know presidents are selected, not elected. We had that conversation last night. However, we all have, like, for instance, you loved Ronald Reagan, okay?
Yes.
But today, who do you like that's running right now as a nominee for the Republican Party? Who do you like?
Well, I'll say Donald Trump is bringing good ideas up that, you know, other people would have not, and he's making people think about it.
Okay.
I don't know about him being president, but I think the woman that worked for Google, I think, Carly.
Yeah.
She seems to be very knowledgeable. She's been all around the world, and she knows, you know, all the leaders of the world and has met them on a one-on-one basis. I mean, she'd be an excellent Secretary of State. I could say that, but you know, I think she'd be something you could look at. I like Mike Huckabee, but only because he's such an honest man, and
yeah.
You know, he wants to do what's right, you know.
What about Rand Paul?
I liked Rand Paul until this debate. He got a little hot under the collar, and, you know, I don't know. I guess I like him, and I like his father, but,
yeah.
You know, he just went off a little bit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
hey, Mike. Yeah, but, Mike, I came across some information. Now, this isn't verified. I just came across some information today about Donald
yeah.
Trump. What do you think about his wife being in porno films and posing nude? Do you really want a First Lady of the United States in the White House that has been in X-rated films or X-rated pictures?
Well, wait a minute. You don't even need to go that far. I once listened to a person talk, and I talked to him who said he was in a back seat with Obama in a car one time when he was just a senator or starting off. So, you know, it's what you know or what you don't know, and you know what? I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Well, It has from a moral standpoint. I mean, you know, what are we going to do? Turn the White House into a party house?
I agree totally, and it shouldn't be. But the fact is, that's what people do. And just relate to what I said about Obama. And I got a question for Mike. Do you think that Trump is running because him and Clinton got something going to where he's going to, you know, steal the majority of the votes, and it's going to be a shoo-in for somebody else because, you know, he'll back down in the end?
I don't know, Joe. I've thought of that too because, you know, Donald Trump is a businessman, and, you know, going to Washington would almost be like a fish out of water. You know, he's a great businessman, but Washington is a horse of a different color, Connie. You know what I mean?
True.
And I don't know if he could actually be a great president. You know? I'm kind of up in the air on that.
I'd go along the lines of a donkey or something like that, but it's not a donkey I'm thinking about.
Well, the donkey actually is the Republican Party symbol.
Yeah, I was thinking more of a jackass.
Yeah, but yeah. I did hear something yesterday where they said, hey, you know, America is financially strapped right now, and you know what? If you, as an individual, as a person, were making some sort of deal at a table, who would you like to have in your corner participating in that deal, backing you up? Obviously, Donald Trump, like Mike just said, is a very good businessman, and he's a good negotiator. And we do need someone who's going to stand up and stick up for the people. Will he do that once he's elected? If he's elected, you know, we don't know. Well, you know, I can't.
We don't know yet.
None of it.
That's
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still out there, you know. And you know, they're gonna try everything to, you know, submarine him and, you know, make him look bad and everything else. You know, I got to give him credit. He's still high in the polls, and granted, he doesn't have much of a filter when it comes to announcing what he's going to say. But
yeah.
Maybe we need to hear that. Maybe we don't need to hear the nicey-nicey, pacey-pacey, you know, pudding and pie speech. You know, maybe we need someone to say, this is the way it is. If you don't like it, I'll tell it to the person behind you.
Yeah, absolutely. And America, you know, when Ronald Reagan was president, America did have that arrogance about him. What'd he go over there in Europe and say, tell Gorbachev, tear down this wall. We were arrogant.
Right.
We were powerful. We were strong. What are we today? Watch what you say. Don't offend this
We can't offend anybody today.
No, you'll be arrested as a terrorist.
That's right. Well, I mentioned that before. Alex joining
up on his own. I got to give him a lot of credit for that because nowadays these younger generation children, if you give them a chance to join the military or sit in the basement and play video games, I kind of guess what they'd give you, what the answer would be. You know,
you got it,
and
Mike.
Yeah, did you hear what Alex said? They can't even do physical exercise. They're throwing up and everything else. And these are 18-year-olds. They can't even run around the block 10 times.
Yeah.
You remember years ago, I don't know how many years ago it was, but remember when they used to have a timeout card at boot camp? Do you guys remember that?
I know. So tell me about it, Mike. That's interesting. Tell me about that.
I believe it was, you know, right after Obama got in that he developed this timeout card that if the sergeant was pushing you too hard or something, all you had, you know, do is, you know, you whip this timeout card once a day, you know, and then he'd have to just, like, you know, kind of leave you alone for a while. But I don't think it ever went anywhere, you know, because that kind of defeats what the military is.
Sure. It's, you know, But that was very nice of you to say that about Alex, Mike. And that's why I asked him on the show, because you know what? A lot of his friends were listening that night. And if he's setting an example, a positive example for 18, 19, 16, 17-year-olds, you know what? He's already a hero. Because if he can set a positive example as a role model without even knowing it, you know what? He'll be blessed later on in life. Or maybe turning around someone else's life, because I know for a fact he has troubled friends, and a couple of his friends I actually worked out with at the YMCA of Wallingford, Connecticut when I was up there, and they were troublemakers, they said. And you know what? When they graduate high school, you know where they're going? The Army, because they want to be like Alex. So you know what? Like you said, Mike, that is great. We need more Alexes, like you said the other night. We need more people, young men like Alex, to make that decision on his own, right?
Correct. I agree 100%.
That's great. Well, Mike, I'm going to go ahead and start getting ready to wrap it up. I don't have any other questions on the line.
I have something to ask.
Okay, go ahead.
What I'd like to hear about a little bit, I know there's a couple people out there that know about this. The rest of the people, you'll probably take a nap and everything. But I'd like to learn a little bit more. I'd like to learn a little bit more about RTTY, radio teletype. Now that comes back from World War II and everything. But I'd like to learn more about the frequencies they use and the equipment required nowadays to receive it. You could probably receive it over your PC or whatever. And that's all. If anybody out there can put a couple minutes together and say something about that, that would be nice.
Okay. Well, you heard it. And this show's archived, so when people go back and listen, if anyone has, you know, can answer Joe's question, maybe call in. I'll give you the floor. I'll give you the floor for how long you want, like I do with all the callers. I won't interrupt you. But, Joe, thanks for participating. Mike, thank you for calling in tonight.
No problem.
As always, I've gotten a lot of emails saying you guys really are very knowledgeable, and it's a blessing. They say, actually, one person said you guys were a blessing to them by listening to how you talked about certain topics that they didn't know anything about. So, you know, I should forward those emails to you, because you know what? That's really great. So thanks, guys. I really appreciate your support.
I'll take your word for it, Joe.
I know you will, but I can forward them to you. But anyway, listen, good night, everyone, and tomorrow night we'll be on again. Like I said, I'll give you my schedule tomorrow night. So if anyone has any suggestions, though, now's the time. Good night, everyone.
See you, bye.
Yep, good night.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face.
Thank you, everyone, for your support. If you want to know about me, you can buy a copy of my book at Amazon.com. It's called Behind the Walls by Joel Hodnett. If you want to know a little bit about me, the history of my life, it's well documented in that book. So go ahead and pick up a copy, Behind the Walls by Joel Hodnett. Thank you very much. Good night.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.